It's just so good to be with you this morning. We've been looking forward to this opportunity after the arrangement was made. And so we're just very thankful to be with you this day, to be together in this good assembly to worship God. Just real quick, and no worries, if you try to find me and my family, you'll find us in Barberton, Ohio. Not Laurel Canyon, but that's all right. Brother Jamie's at Laurel Canyon. Y'all had him in January. No worries. I'll say this much. So in 1954, the Barberton Boys High School won a state track championship. One man scored all the points. Glenn Jeep Davis. He moved from Wellsburg, West Virginia to Barberton, Ohio in the 1950s. And so there's a banner. And Nathan actually called me. Before he called me, we were at a basketball game. I actually took a picture of it. Because people in Barberton probably don't know that banner that hangs there, it says the Boys High School State Championship. Yeah, one man scored all the points for him, Glenn Jeep Davis. So Barberton thanks Wellsburg, West Virginia for allowing them to 70 years ago or more, 70 years ago, to allow them to have a state high school track championship banner now hanging in the basketball gymnasium. In Bible class, we introduced our sermon series, so obviously we had some folks in Bible class, some adults and our young children. And so obviously many of us in the room do remember September 11th, 2001. That was the date of the terrorist attacks. And the days and weeks and months and years that followed, we spent a lot of time hearing about homeland security, and rightly so. So over the last 20-plus years, those of us that live in this country have heard lots of things relating to the idea of homeland security. And so you think about homeland security. And so that's kind of the overall theme of our studies this day, is the idea of securing the home. The home is, of the three divine institutions, the oldest. And the home to God is very important. And we ought to spend a lot of time thinking about securing the home. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean locking the doors at night and alarms on the house and those things, to each their own. But the idea is having families that are God-focused, having relationships in the family that are God-centered, that are secured on the promises of God. This morning, we're going to be talking about securing the hearts of our children. Les just read from Psalm 148 and verse 12, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. This lesson is not just for moms and dads or young children. Any one of us of any age or station in life can learn and take the thoughts that we'll share this morning and make application of them in his or her own life. The idea or the premise of this lesson really is letting God speak to our young children. And so we must let God speak. God has some things to say to our young children, to our young folks. And so we're going to explore those things together this morning. What is it that God says to the young people? What is it that God is speaking to our young children, to our young adults? First of all, as Les just read from Psalm 148, the psalmist over and over again says to praise God. God says to praise him. Going back to Psalm 148 and verse 12, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted, his glory is above the earth and heaven. If you ever needed help praying, like, how do I address God? You know, Jesus said, you know, our Father who art in heaven. But if you read through the Psalms, many of the Psalms were prayers uttered by David or other psalmists. And many of the Psalms start with some kind of identifying mark relative to God and his character. And so God is our creator. God is our sustainer. God is our provider. God is our savior. God is our judge. God is our anchor, right? God is true and steadfast. And so the psalmist calls upon young men and maidens to praise God. You read through the Psalms, you learn how to pray, you learn how to praise God, you learn how to acknowledge God. David, who wrote the majority of the Psalms, over and over again could be found praising God, giving the kind of regard that is due God and God alone. You know, why praise the name of the Lord? Well, the psalmist answered that in Psalm 148. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And so we are of divine origin. God is our creator. And so these are the kinds of things that God is speaking to our young people. And so we did not originate in some marsh somewhere. We did not come from some single cell amoeba. This world does not exist as it does from some Big Bang theory. No, rather in the beginning, God created. And so why praise God? Because God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our praise because he commanded and they were created. We are made in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image. There's a part of our makeup that separates us or makes us distinct from all other aspects or parts of God's creation. That is, we, you, our young children, moms and dads, grandparents alike, are made in the image of God. So there's a part of our makeup that's eternal. We have a spirit that is eternal. How do the young praise the name of the Lord? Well, in Psalm 148 and verse 8, it says, fulfilling his word. We'll talk a little bit about communication tonight in our evening sermon, but communication's important. And what's awesome about our God is it's not that just God tells us he loves us, but God showed us he loved us. And so in John 3:16, right, God tells us, for God so loved the world. God tells us, he says to us, I love you. But God showed it. God demonstrated it in the sacrificing of his only begotten son. And so while it is important for me to praise God, Hebrews chapter 13:15 talks about offering up the fruit of our lips. That is the sacrifice of praise. And so with our lips, we can praise God. We can communicate. We can speak words to God. But I must also communicate not only in word, but also in deed. And so God, we think about securing the hearts of our children, that God says to praise him, that is to praise God. Praise God by acknowledging God, but then demonstrating your love for God. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I was down in a gospel meeting down in Payton City years and years ago. And sure enough, I was driving down the road there, another church just down the road, and the sign said, honk if you love Jesus. And I'm sure there's lots of people honking the horn. In and of itself, nothing wrong with it, I guess. But, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, he didn't say honk your car horn. He said, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so for our young children, but any one of us of any age or station of life, how do I praise the name of the Lord? By fulfilling his word. Back home, we started this new thing about the idea of either changing or improving the culture of the church. And so one of the things that we've adopted recently is creating these images that really specifically all of us see, but our young folks see. And we communicate these things. We encourage mom and dads at home. We've got these images on cards. We've got them on the bulletins, the sermon outlines, emails, text. And so these are images our family see all the time. And the idea is that I love Sunday, right? There's another church I'm aware of that all the time, the preachers, the elders, the members talk about Sunday being the best day of the week. And so back home at Barberton, we always talk about, I love Sunday. We love Sunday. Why? Well, Jesus arose on Sunday. The church began on Sunday. The early saints assembled on Sunday. Those would be some reasons. I love Sunday. Here's another image we created. I love Sunday. And of course, those images we have like times of service and BarbertonChurchOfChrist.com. And so we just outfit them to, you know, for our local congregation. But we started doing that to try to secure the hearts of our young people that they need to love Sunday, right? Sunday's a special day. Of course, today's, if you will, Super Bowl Sunday, but Sunday ought to be a super Sunday for all of us as God's people. Why? Because we're going to go worship God as God has prescribed. How about number two? Securing the hearts of our young children. Letting God speak to our young children. What is it that God says to them? God says to hear wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 4, Solomon said to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You know, all throughout the book of Proverbs, the wise man was continually speaking to the young person, to our young people, to children. Of course, the message isn't just for them, but God had some things to say to young people. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse number 8. The wise man said, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your Lord." That is just one of 23 times in the book of Proverbs that Solomon says, "My son." 23 times, over and over again, "My son." Let's look at a few more. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse number 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Right? We do have some young folks that are old enough to have friends at school and the like. And so if your friends were trying to entice you to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, what's God say? God says, don't go with them. Don't do what they're doing, right? You do what's right in the sight of God. How about verse 15, chapter 1? "My son," how many times have you read Proverbs? Many times over. Did you ever notice that God had some things to say to young people? "My son," right? "Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." Look at chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you." Chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." And you could just keep reading. You get your concordance out, right? Get a Strong's concordance out or another concordance out and look up the phrase "my son" or the words "my" and "son" in Proverbs. Some 23 times throughout that book that does God have something to say to our young people. And so every young man and woman would do well to hear and heed the advice of the wise man. Of course, that is true for any one of us. No matter how old we are or what station in life we're in, every single one of us would do well to heed the words of wisdom literature. Look at number 3, securing the hearts of our children. It's a big responsibility, by the way. Like rearing children, raising children, having children. It's a big responsibility. This morning in our Bible class, we talked about time, securing the family focus. If you weren't able to be with us for that, if you were in class or hadn't arrived just yet, we talked about things like securing the family focus, like time. And time can get away from us, if you will. Like one minute your children are small and the next minute you're sending them off to college. Or they're getting married, or now you have grandchildren. And so you think about, you know, securing the hearts of our children, securing the hearts of our young people. Before you know it, they won't be so young. And we may have missed the opportunity to secure their heart. Number 3, God says rejoice, remove, and remember. This is back in wisdom literature, this time in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And verse number 9, in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, the wise man says, rejoice. And so think about the 3 R's, rejoice, remove, and remember. This always makes for a good sermon. The 3 R's of Ecclesiastes, right? Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. The second R, verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Then in verse chapter 12, verse 1, this might be one of those cases where chapters and verses doesn't do the text justice. The third R is found in chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, how many times have mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, or somebody said, I wish I had energy like them? Got lots of young children. What a blessing. They've been kind of scattered around and walking around and running around. I go outside and play and they'll just seem like run all day. And how many times have we said, I wish I had energy like them? Why? What happens? Well, our bodies age and they begin to break down. They begin to decay. We either don't have the energy that we once had or, right, there's limitations, physical limitations that come about due to age. It's no wonder why that God, when he's talking to young children, to rejoice, remove, and remember. there's a fallacy. Like it's the old adage, you say something long enough and often enough, people believe it. And so our society has come to believe that youth is a time to sow wild oats. Like, we may have said that just because we've heard it so often throughout our lives. Like, we've come to believe as a society that our youth, that our childhood, our teenage years is a time to just sow wild oats. But the Bible doesn't teach that. God never said that. God says, rejoice, remove, and remember. Now, obviously, when it comes to youth, there's, right, immaturity, but that's the process of life that, right, our children are maturing, right, they're progressing, right, there's less experience, right, a 13-year-old doesn't have as much experience in life as a 63-year-old. That just goes without saying. But that doesn't mean or equate to that it's a time to sow wild oats. Yeah, there's lots of lessons to be learned in one's youth. And we've all been there and done that. But God says when he speaks to the young, in their youth, to rejoice. Yeah, rejoice in your youth. That is a time to rejoice. To remove sorrow. And to remember God. There's a lot of people, a lot of young people, who have caused themselves much trouble by the things they've done in their youth. There's consequences to certain actions. And if I do things that are terrible and sinful, there might be consequences I have to live with the rest of my life because of the bad decisions that I made in my youth. Number four, securing the hearts of our young children, right? If we're going to secure them, right, the idea of protecting them, right? Because the devil's after them, right? The devil wants their heart. The devil wants the heart of your child. The devil wants your heart. And how are we going to secure the hearts of our children? How are we going to secure our own hearts? How about God says, let no one despise your youth? Now, what does that mean, though? Like, so Paul's writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy's a younger man, based on the language used by Paul, a young preacher. So you think about youth, could be, you know, small children, teenagers, maybe somebody into their 20s. Maybe this is the case for Timothy being a young evangelist. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul says, let no one despise your youth. But how does he go about doing that? What is Paul trying to tell Timothy? He says, but being an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's an exhortation about being an example, right? And so you think about securing the hearts of our children. God says, let no one despise your youth. That is, we're going to try to instill in our children, our grandchildren, the concept or idea of being an example, to be a godly example. And, right, so we can talk about the problem in 21st century America. We can talk about many of the issues that confront our public school systems. We can talk about many of the issues that communities are battling with, if you will, the next generation. Right? We can talk about those things, and there are issues. There's no doubt about it. There are some serious issues that are occurring throughout our country and in many different aspects and places. But when it comes to securing the hearts of our children, right, let no one despise your youth. Our young people, be an example, right? Be kind, be caring, be loving, right? I always think about, you imagine a kid going to school and says to a teacher, please and thank you. She'd probably fall over dead. Right? Whose son or daughter are you, right? Let alone for him or her to go up to a teacher in school and say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Like, I couldn't imagine how low their mouth would drop, like, huh? Right? I probably picked it up from my parents, but my grandmother especially. I used to go around, I still do, I'll be in the grocery store and somebody will say something. I'll just say, yes, sir. And I usually have a haircut high and tight. And they always ask me, do you serve in the military? No, I did not. Right? I just was taught to be respectful. People will pick up on that. For our young people, be respectful. Right? Think about manners, please and thank you. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, or no, sir, and no, ma'am, and those kinds of things will go a long way. How we talk, how we communicate, how we dress, or how we address people. That's what Paul's talking about, right? Paul's telling Timothy, if Timothy's going to be effective in preaching the gospel, right, he's going to have to show Christ living in him. And if I want to have the respect of my mom and dad, my grandparents, I want to have the respect of my teachers or whoever it is, then let no one despise your youth. That is, be an example, right? Show Christ living in you. Let those kinds of characteristics, right, exemplify who you are and your character. So moms and dads, be busy teaching your children, right? How are our children going to learn about God? How are our children going to learn those kinds of characteristics or qualities or manners? They're going to have to be taught. And so we got to be busy teaching. Number five, securing the hearts of our children. God says to flee and follow. You know, there are certain things that are peculiar to youth. Now, I would suggest that it's not exclusive. Like, it's not just that these are dangers that face the young. But consider, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul said to flee also youthful lust. So there's things that are peculiar to youth. They're not exclusive to. So these things could confront any one of us. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee and follow. Like, what's God saying? Well, God is talking about who or what you're going to follow. And so our young people need to be implored to follow God, right? To seek God. Every generation has contemplated the purpose of life. Every generation. Like, why are we here? People today, even in our enlightened society today, right, with all the technology we have and all that we've come to learn and know about, right, medical things, and people still are asking about why we are here, what is our purpose? And over again, God has stated it. Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep his commandments. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul preached in Acts 17:27 when he was in Athens that it was the whole duty of man to seek God in the hope that he might find him, though he is not far from each one of us. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 9, Paul said to make it your aim, your purpose, to present yourself well-pleasing to God. That's the purpose. That's why we're here, to bring glory and honor to God, to serve and to worship God. And so we can secure the hearts of our young children by imploring them to seek God, to make God the focus of his or her life. Number six, the final point, securing the hearts of our children, God says to be some things. What is it that God wants the young to be? Well, in passages like Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, it starts in verse 3, the older women, and so what are the older women to do? He says to teach the younger women to do what? To be some things. And so older women, that they teach the younger women, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, right? To be loving. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. But do you know what that means in the context of Paul's letter, specifically chapter 3? That statement or declaration, that revelation is the answer to perilous times. You go back up to chapter 3, verse 1, and read through those first few verses, and what Paul does, he talks about the perilous times. He talks about the bad or evil, sinful behavior of those in perilous times. And what's interesting, one of the descriptions that Paul gives is he says, in some translations, it's rendered that men will be without natural affection. What is more natural than a mother bringing forth a child from her womb? And so you want to talk about evil, right? That there would be mothers and fathers without natural affection. They would choose to not love the child that they brought forth from the womb, that they together have made. And so Paul says, teach them, teach the young women, teach the young to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may be blasphemed. It's interesting. If you're a manager of any corporation, is that a good position to have? Generally speaking, yeah. If you're a manager of some, right, business, store, whatever the case may be, you know, the Bible describes the woman as the manager of the home. That's a big responsibility. It's an important responsibility. And that's what God speaks to. Later on in the same chapter, Titus 2 and verse 6, Paul says, likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And so that's the kind of attitude or disposition that God wants us to have and to be. God says, be some things. Be what? Read those verses. Be that. Think about passages like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, right? Those are things to be. Or the Beatitudes. I remember I had some really good Bible class teachers regarding Bible classes on Sundays. And so to this day, the things that they used as memory tricks, I still remember. Right, the Beatitudes, right? The idea is, let this be my attitude. The Beatitudes aren't just some kind of like, you know, wording that sounds really cool, like, oh, good job, God. No, it's be these things, do these things. I think about go eat peaches and cream. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's no lie. George Kimbler, still living today in Norwalk, Ohio, that's how we memorize the books of the New Testament. Little tricks like that. And to this day, I still remember it. Now, I don't need go eat peaches and cream, but like it helped me learn the books of the Bible. And that's kind of the point, right? You think about securing the hearts of our children. If we're going to secure the hearts of our children, we're going to have to let God speak to them, right? And God has some things to say, right, to our young folks. Now, any one of those observations applied to any of us in this room or this world, but specifically to our young people. You think about homeland security. Like, society, if you will, the devil, he's coming after the hearts of our children. I don't have to go into the depths and scopes of things occurring in society and debates that are being had and, right, all these just nonsense stuff that's happening, right? If we're not busy securing the hearts of our children, you know who will? The devil will. And so moms and dads, grandparents and grandmas and the like, just the church in general as a collective group, encouraging each other to secure the hearts of our young people and secure the hearts of the family of God. We have a song of invitation. 287. 287 we'll sing as a song of encouragement. You know, God has given us everything necessary to secure our hearts, whether it's of our children, ourselves, right? The idea of security, that is keeping out evil, keeping out those who would want to do harm, keeping the devil out. And so, you know, the devil's very clever. He's got the same toolbox he had in the Garden of Eden, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know that toolbox? He had it in the Garden of Eden. He had it out in the wilderness working on the heart of Jesus. And he uses those same tools today to work on our hearts. The thing about it is, we're not unaware of that. We know that. We know the devil's out there. And we know he's going after our children, their hearts. We know that he's going to come after our heart. We know that he's going after the hearts of humanity. And God has equipped us with everything we need to fend him off, to stop him, to have victory over the devil. That's really what Jesus is all about, victory in Jesus, victory over the devil. And so we can. If you're here this morning and not yet a Christian, your heart needs to be secured in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says to hear the good news of Jesus the Christ, Romans 10:17, that you'll believe in God and believe in Jesus, John 8:24, that you'll make changes in your life that will conform to God's will. The Bible refers to it as repentance, a change of mind and action. You turn from doing what's wrong in the sight of God to doing what's right in the sight of God. You confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. If you believe that he's the Son of God, make public confession of it. And upon your confession, be baptized into Christ, to be immersed or buried in water for the remission of your past sins. And you can arise to walk in newness of life. And when a person, a man or woman, does those things, you know what he or she does? She or he secures their respective heart. Of course, as Christians, we might fend the devil off. He's come before us. He's tempting us, and we fend him off. And that's great and good. Good work, good job. But guess what? He's going to come back again. He's going to knock again. He's going to tempt you again. And we got to be ready for when he comes. And so if I'm a Christian and I've been living in sin, repent and pray to God for forgiveness. We once again can have fellowship with God. We're going to sing the song of encouragement. If you're here this morning and we could help you secure your heart, won't you come? We're together. We stand and while we sing.